Hi, I'm Tom, and today in English Digest, we're going to be traveling to the roof of the world, a place called Tibet, which is, of course, part of China. It's out in the, the southwest area of China. It takes a long time to get out there. And it's kind of a controversial area. Some people say maybe it should be independent. Some people say, oh, no. That's very much part of China, et cetera. But we're not going to really get into that today. We're just going to talk about the place itself. We're going on a tour of the roof of the world.
Yeah, we sure are. I haven't been there myself, but I had a classmate at Zhengda, and he was from Tibet. It was very interesting to hear about the culture there. So he's gone back to his own country. I consider it separate, but that's me. And he's now trying to build more schools for the country back there. So he's doing good things.
Okay, and of course, it's a wonderful place to travel to as well. And if you can tell your friends that you've been to Tibet, you will be the life of the party. Nobody else will be able to talk at all. You will dominate the conversation for 5 or 6 hours. So please go to Tibet to be the envy of all your friends.
Yeah, not many people get to go there, really.
Not really, yeah. I suppose I had a chance a long time ago, but when they told me how long the bus ride was and
all that kind
of stuff, I thought, well, I don't think it's worth it. Maybe I'll just read about it in books.
Maybe there's a better train these days.
Oh, yes. This was, of course, before the train was completed. But in any case, we will talk about Tibet in today's program. And one way to introduce you to the wonders of Tibet is to read through our article now one time. The Tibetan Plateau is the highest region on Earth. So high do its snow-capped mountains rise that the area is named the Roof of the World. Its mountain ranges are separated by countless valleys, lakes, and prairies, making it one of the most visually stunning parts of the world. Though part of China, the Tibetan Autonomous Region, TAR, possesses a culture and history of its own. It's impossible to talk about Tibet without mentioning the mighty Mount Everest. The world's highest mountain is 8,848 meters above sea level and stands precisely on the border of Nepal and Tibet. The peaks surrounding it are no less impressive and include Lhotse, 8,516 meters, the fourth highest mountain in the world. First climbed in 1953 by Sir Edmund Hillary and Sherpa Tenzing Norgay, Mount Everest remains one of the most challenging and therefore most popular mountains to conquer on the planet. In addition to mountains, Tibet boasts diverse geography. Since the northern part of Tibet, the lake region, is in the rain shadow of the Himalayas, much of it is dry and most of the lakes there are salty. The eastern, southern, and western parts of Tibet, on the other hand, make up the river region, a more fertile area full of valleys and canyons, crisscrossed by streams. There are also many hot springs, but the region's cold temperatures can be so intense at times that the hot water shooting out of the ground immediately freezes, creating columns of ice. An excellent way to see the country is to take the Qinghai-Tibet Railway, which connects Xining in Qinghai Province to Lhasa, the capital of the TAR. The track is almost 2,000 kilometers in length, crossing high bridges and plunging through tunnels on its journey to Lhasa.
So we're going to take a tour of the roof of the world. I've never heard it called this, but now I know. It's kind of its nickname, Tibet's nickname. We're starting out by talking about the Tibetan Plateau. Tibetan is actually the adjective form for the word Tibet. I could say I have a Tibetan friend. So the Tibetan Plateau is the highest region on Earth. Wow. A plateau is a large area of flat land that's much higher than the land around it. And I'd like to see a picture of this, actually. Have you seen a picture, Tom?
Yeah, I guess so. We see pictures of Tibet all the time, especially the Tibetan prayer flags and all that kind of stuff.
The people, I've seen lots of pictures.
Lots of pictures of Tibetan monks in those dark, what are they, dark purple robes or whatever, praying and stuff like that. So it's very high in elevation. elevation here. Now, this next sentence here is a little tricky. So high do its snow-capped mountains rise that the area is called the roof of the world. So we've got so high do, and then later on in the sentence, we have the word rise, which is a verb. So high do they rise. In other words, they rise so high that the area is called the roof of the world. In other words, because the mountains are so high, the area is called the roof of the world.
I could also say, so hot is Taiwan in the summer that I can barely stand it. It's pretty humid and hot here in the summer for me. So that's a new sentence pattern that you might want to take a closer look at. Now, when you talk about snow-capped mountains, it means the very top of the mountain has snow on it. So it looks like it's got a little lid or a cap on the mountaintop that just is made of snow. So we often will talk about snow-capped mountains. They are in an area that's named the roof of the world. Now, its mountain ranges are separated by countless valleys, lakes, and prairies, making it one of the most visually stunning parts of the world. It's got a lot of different kinds of scenery, you could say. A mountain range is when you have several mountains grouped together, and they're just all near each other, and you could go from one mountain to the next. It's a mountain range. Countless means too many to even count. So there are a lot of valleys there. A valley is a lower part of a land between two canyon walls. Lakes, which we love, and prairies are an open field of just grass and sometimes some flowers. Not many trees are on prairies.
A large flat area, as you said. Grass, flowers, maybe some trees, but not much prairies. There, of course, there are prairies in the United States. And Canada, of course, the province of Saskatchewan is one big prairie, as are the states of Nebraska and Kansas.
A lot of flat land.
The U.S., lots of flat land. So that's what you could enjoy seeing in Tibet, with lots of valleys, mountains, and, of course, there are lakes there, and then the prairies, of course. And all those things make it one of the most visually stunning parts of the world. So it's a great place to check out landscapes there, get some nice views. Bring your camera along, take some wonderful pictures and stuff like that. It's a visually stunning, which means, wow, that's so cool. It's almost as wonderful as the Central Mountain Range here in Taiwan.
That's right. Now, though part of China, so we're saying that part of Tibet is belonging to the country of China, though part of Tibet is in China, the Tibetan Autonomous Region, which is also known as TAR, that's the acronym for Tibetan Autonomous Region, it possesses a culture and history of its own. Yeah, that was one of the things that was interesting to me, was finding out their culture is very different. The clothes, their traditional clothes, are very different than the traditional Chinese clothes. And also they have their own language, too, their own history. If you're autonomous, it means you're independent, you're free from others' help or control, you could say.
Yeah, you can basically govern yourself. There are a number of regions like that in China. I think Guangxi is an autonomous region, or maybe a part of it. I'm not sure. I think they still consider Hong Kong as an autonomous economic region or something like that. Don't quote me on that. I don't know exactly what the official name is. But that's what they officially call Tibet, and it possesses or it has a culture and history of its own. Possess here, of course, is just a fancy way of saying something or someone has something.
They own something too, yeah.
In your possession is a form of that. But in any case, we're going to move on now to the next paragraph and learn some more about Tibet. Here it says, it's impossible to talk about Tibet without mentioning the mighty Mount Everest.
Okay. Ta-da!
Yes, indeed. In Chinese, that of course is Shengmufeng. And is it Chomolungma or something like that in the local language of Nepal or Tibet? I'm not sure. But to Westerners, it is called Mount Everest. And, of course, lots of people like to climb to the top.
Try to climb to the top.
Exactly. Of Mount Everest. That's something I have no interest in doing myself.
Yeah, it's hard.
It's hard. If I go to Nepal or Tibet, I'd rather be hanging out with the locals, eating with them and drinking with them. Why waste my time up in the cold suffering just to say I've been
been on the top of the world, but that's, individual, to each his own.
Yeah, well, my best friend went with her brother, and they tried to climb as high as they could in Nepal. Her brother got hurt in an accident and had to be airlifted off the mountain. But, yeah, that's not for me. I'd prefer to stay down lower in a nice restaurant or a nice hotel where I could just relax. Yeah, it's a lot of hard work. Now, the world's highest mountain, Mount Everest, is 8,848 meters above sea level and stands precisely on the border of Nepal and Tibet. A border is kind of an imaginary line that you draw between two countries, or in America we have borders between states. So you can't really see the line. Sometimes countries will build a wall between those two different areas. But here it's just a border, kind of that imaginary line between the two of these countries we're talking about. Precise. If you're precise, you're very accurate.
Right. As the adjective, precisely, is the adverb here. So it's describing the word stand here. It stands exactly or precisely on that border between Nepal and Tibet, okay? And that brings us roughly to the midway point of our lesson for today. We're going to take a timeout right now, but please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hello, everyone. My name is Tina. 在文章的第一段的第二个句子提到 So high do its snow-capped mountains rise that the area is named the roof of the world. 在这里呢是一个非常特别的句型我们用倒装的方式来说也就是其实它原本的句型是Its snow-capped mountains rise so high. 然后 that 再加上后面的子句。也就是说呢它这积雪覆盖的群山耸立得如此之高。在这里我们用倒装的方式 so high, 然后搭配一般动词把助动词 do 移到主词的前面来就有加强语气的作用。正因为它非常的高所以这个区域呢就被称为 The Roof of the World 世界屋脊下一个句子 Its mountain ranges are separated by countless valleys, lakes and prairies making it one of the most visually stunning parts of the world 在这里提到呢青藏高原的山脉范围在这里用的是 mountain range 指的就是山脉而有很多所以用复数来表达它是被无数个山谷湖泊跟大草原所分隔开来而呢正因为如此非常的广泛所以使得它成为世界上最具视觉震撼的地区之一在这里我们用了一个形容词叫做 the most visually stunning stunning 本来就是有令人惊讶的意思接着我们来看到第二段提到呢青藏高原当然要提到圣母峰在这里英文圣母峰的说法叫做 Mount Everest后面的句子提到 The world's highest mountain is 8,848 meters above sea level and stands precisely on the border of Nepal and Tibet. 提到呢这最高的山呢大概是在海拔高度有8848公尺在这里提到的是 above sea level 而它的坐落的位置就刚好是在尼泊尔跟吐蕃的国界上 precisely 在这里当作副词有精确地准确地的意思
We're going to take a quick break Stay tuned, we'll be right backWelcome back, guys. We're talking about the Tibetan Plateau. We're talking about Tibet, too, the country. We're taking a tour of what we're calling the Roof of the World. So we found out in the first part of our lesson that the Tibetan Plateau is actually the highest region on Earth. So if you want to go to a place that's really high, you'll want to go there. I'm kind of afraid of heights, so I don't think I would be comfortable up too high. But it's a beautiful area. They've got beautiful scenic views. They've got lots of valleys, lakes, prairies. It's considered to be one of the most visually stunning parts of the world. And though part of China is actually autonomous, it's called the Tibetan Autonomous Region, they possess a culture and history of their own. They really do have a different look, and it feels different, too, from the pictures I've seen. Now, we've been talking about Mount Everest. We left at the break talking about how high it is. It's 8,848 meters above sea level. And it stands exactly or precisely on the border between Nepal and Tibet.
That's where Mount Everest is. And, of course, I think most people approach Mount Everest from the Nepal side.
Yeah.
But it is possible to climb Mount Everest from the Tibet side, which I understand is more challenging or something like that. So if you like mountains, then go to the Himalayas in Tibet or Nepal. And the peaks surrounding Mount Everest are no less impressive. If something's impressive, well, it's something that impresses you. You just stop and go, wow, that's impressive. If somebody does something like they play a 10-minute drum solo or something like that, or juggle 15 balls or something, you say, wow, that is so impressive.
So they've got some sort of skill that something that you could admire. It's impressive. It's probably quite difficult. So there are impressive achievements that people attain. But this is an impressive region of the world, you could say. Now, do you know anything about Lhasa?
I've heard of it. It's a pretty tall mountain, and it's nearby. And if you've ever read any literature or stories about people who climb Mount Everest, this will probably be mentioned at some point, because it is a nearby mountain, and some people climb it just to say they did. It's the fourth highest mountain in the world. But we're going back to Mount Everest here. It says, first climbed in 1953 by Sir Edmund Hillary and Sherpa Tenzing Norgay, Mount Everest remains one of the most challenging and therefore most popular mountains to conquer on the planet. So, yes, indeed, we are talking about Mount Everest here. It was first climbed by a guy from New Zealand, Sir Edmund Hillary. New Zealand is part of the Commonwealth, so I guess if you're from New Zealand or Australia or Canada, you can be knighted and be called Dame or Sir or something like that. So I guess Edmund Hillary was knighted, and so now he's called Sir Edmund Hillary. I think he passed away in recent years. I guess he's no longer with us. And then his guide was Sherpa Tenzing Norgay. And, of course, this means that Mount Everest is one of the most challenging mountains in the world because people want to conquer it. If you conquer something, that means you take it over. You control that thing. We oftentimes talk about countries conquering other nations, like Germany conquered Austria and Poland and Denmark and France and all sorts of countries during World War II.
Now, in the next paragraph, it says, in addition to mountains, Tibet boasts diverse geography. If you boast, a lot of times that's very negative. If you say a person's boasting about themselves, it means they're bragging, they're chenyo, they think they're cool, and it's too much. It's good to be proud of yourself, but you don't need to brag or boast about it. Here we're using it a little bit differently. We'll often use this verb to talk about a country or a city possessing or having some sort of feature. Maybe it's a scenic view or a building or some sort of culture, something they're really proud of. And so we're using it like that here. It boasts, or they're very proud. They have some beautiful, diverse geography. Diverse is also pronounced diverse. You'll hear both pronunciations. They're both correct.
Okay, so the next sentence does go on to talk about some of the diverse geography of Tibet. Since the northern part of Tibet, the lake region, is in the rain shadow of the Himalayas, much of it is dry. So since here, because the northern part of Tibet is in the rain shadow of the Himalayas, therefore, a lot of it is dry. Okay, if we talk about the rain shadow, I guess that means that the rain is kind of blocked off by mountain range. It falls, the rain falls on one side of the mountains, but by the time the clouds get to the other side, the rain is all gone. So on the other side of the mountain, things tend to be dry.
That's very interesting. Yeah, it's a phrase I've never seen before myself, a rain shadow. Huh. Hmm. Well, much of that area is dry, and most of the lakes there are salty. As most of you know there, most of you guys know that lakes are usually fresh water, right? So they're not salty, but these are salty, which is interesting. The eastern, southern, and western parts of Tibet, on the other hand, make up what we call, in quotations, the river region. So we've got the lake region, and we've got the river region, but the river region's different. It's more fertile, it's greener, it's got more grass, trees, things like that, because it gets more water, obviously. Now, if you make up or you say something is made up of certain parts or pieces, that's what it's composed of. That's how it's put together. So it makes up the river region. You could say there are several different districts in the Taipei area that make up the city of Taipei.
Make up, right. Comprise or compose makeup could also mean two lovers broke up before, and now they're making up and getting back together to make up. That's a different definition of that term. But here, make up means constitute, form, etc. So all these things are together, and they are referred to as the river region, which, as you said, is more fertile or fertile. Some people pronounce it that way. More water, more plants and stuff like that. So you could say the soil is fertile. You can grow plants in it. It's got lots of nutrients and stuff like that. And also it's got lots of valleys and canyons. And those valleys and canyons are crisscrossed by streams. To crisscross means they go from one side to the other and then back again to the other side. Back and forth, back and forth, crisscrossing.
Yeah, sometimes we'll talk about people taking a long trip and they crisscross the country, especially in the United States. You go from the East Coast to the West Coast and back, so it's kind of fun.
So
we've got some hot springs in this region, but it's pretty cold there, and the cold temperatures can be so intense that this is kind of hard to believe. But sometimes the hot water that shoots out of the ground at these hot springs will immediately freeze, creating columns of ice. That'd be cool to see. Now, something's intense. It exists in a very high degree. It's very extreme, you could say. So the temperatures are extremely cold.
Exactly. So, yes, here in Taiwan, of course, the hot can be quite intense at times or sometimes, and water can boil on the sidewalk or something like that. But in Tibet, if the water is shooting out of the ground, it might freeze right there and might create those columns of ice. Maybe you can see some pictures on the internet of that. Well, in the final paragraph here, it says, an excellent way to see the country, to see Tibet, is to take the Qinghai-Tibet Railway. Qinghai, I believe, is a province to the east of Tibet, and this railway connects Xining in Qinghai province to Lhasa, which is the capital of the Tibet Autonomous Region.
Yeah, but I just looked at the population of Lhasa. It's 140,000 people.
Gee.
Wow, much smaller than our cities here in Taiwan, right?
Really smaller than Sinju, huh?
That's really small. So the track that we're talking about, the railway track, is almost 2,000 kilometers in length, and it crosses high bridges and plunges through tunnels as you make your way to Lhasa. When you plunge, you go from a very high elevation rapidly downward. We'll often use it figuratively to talk about the stock market plunged, which means the value of whatever stock you're talking about fell really quickly. But here we're talking about an elevation going from very high to very low or lower.
Or quickly. To go quickly through those tunnels.
Yeah.
So, indeed, it's quite a journey on that train, although I can guess it probably takes several hours. And if you're on that train with other travelers, you can probably have a really good time eating and drinking and exchanging stories and laughing and having yourself a grand old time. Okay, that brings us to the end of our explanation. Here comes our Chinese teacher.
第二段的最后一句提到 first climbed in 1953 by Sir Edmund Hillary and Sherpa Tenzing Norgay, Mount Everest remains one of the most challenging and therefore most popular mountains to conquer on the planet. 有没有注意到在这里这一句的主词是 Mount Everest, 而这座山被爬上去，所以就在这里用的是 VPP 表被动，是在1953年有第一批的人登上之后呢，到目前它仍然是地球上人们最想要征服的山脉之一。Conquer 当作动词，有攻占或者是攻取的意思。I finally conquered my fear of heights, 指的就是我终于呢克服了我的惧高心态。第三段的第一句提到 In addition to mountains, Tibet boasts diverse geography. 在这里的 boast 当作动词，解释成为以拥有什么为自豪。 A diverse 则是有多样化的，非常多样性的地形。我们其中来看到在第三段中间提到 The eastern, southern and western parts of Tibet, on the other hand, make up the river region, a more fertile area full of valleys and canyons crisscrossed by streams. 那么北部呢是湖泊区，但是在东部、南部、西部则是所谓的 river region, 河流区，是一个比较肥沃的区域。在英文里面 fertile 就是有土壤肥沃的意思。举个例子来说，这块地非常的肥沃，所以呢一年可以生长三次的作物。The land is so fertile that three crops a year can grow. 而呢，后面有提到，这些的峡谷跟山谷呢，都被河流可以交织而成。我们用的是 crisscrossed by streams. 在这里一样 ,crisscross 当作动词有交叉成十字形状，用 VPP 表示被动的形态。最后一段的第一句 An excellent way to see the country is to take the Qinghai-Tibet Railway, which connects Xining in Qinghai Province to Lhasa, the capital of the TAR. 其实呢，一个最佳观赏的方式就是搭乘青藏铁路，而它连接了青海省的西宁跟吐蕃自治区的首都拉萨。以上就是今天的课文讲解，谢谢收听。
That's it for today, but Tibet is such a wonderful and big place that we're going to talk about it again in our program next time, so please tune in then. From all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.